بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. So we begin this evening in preparation for the coming month of Ramadan, reading from the book that is entitled كتاب الفقه الميسر في ضوء الكتاب والسنة, the book which is entitled the facilitated understanding or the simplified understanding الفقه, in the light of the book and the Sunnah, in the light of the book and the Sunnah, كتاب الفقه الميسر في ضوء الكتاب والسنة. The book about al-fiqh. Al-fiqh, it means linguistically understanding. Al-fiqh huwa al-fahm. Al-fiqh huwa al-fahm. You say faqiha yafqahu. Ifqah. Fiqhan. Idha fahima. Yani fahima yafhamu. Ifham fahman. Yani fal-fiqh huwa al-fahm. Al-fiqh huwa al-fahm. This is the linguistic meaning. That the word al-fiqh, it means understanding. It means understanding. تقول فقه الطالب المسألة أي فهمها. That the student, he understood the issue. He understood the issue. So linguistically, this word al-fiqh, it means to have understanding. But what is intended here is not any understanding, but rather al-fiqh fi al-deen, to have understanding in the religion. To have understanding in the religion. And this is a sign that Allah, He wants good for somebody. If they are concerned with having an understanding in the religion, if they are concerned with having a proper and a good and upright understanding of the deen of al-Islam, this is a sign that Allah wants good for that individual. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhuma, and the hadith is muttafaqun alayhi, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi ad-din, that whoever Allah, he wants good for, then he will grant him understanding in the religion. Then he will grant him understanding in the religion. And this includes the understanding of the pillars of al-Islam. And first and foremost, the proper and upright understanding of the meaning of ash-shahadatayn, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadar rasulullah, that one, he understands the testification of faith properly and correctly. He understands the meaning of these two noble and upright statements, and he likewise understands what they require from him from action and what they necessitate him from manners and conduct. And this is the statement that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and the statement that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's the messenger of Allah. But likewise, after that, having understanding in the rest of the pillars of al-Islam, as well as having understanding of the pillars of al-Iman, and also having understanding of the pillar of al-Ihsan, and this is the deen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين, that whoever Allah wants good for, that whoever Allah wants good for, he will grant him al-fiqh fi al-deen, he will grant him understanding in the deen. And this is what is included in the deen, and it is well known in the hadith of Jibril alayhi salam, whenever he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam while he was sitting with his companions, and he asked him about al-Islam and al-Iman and al-Ihsan, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he informed him of the pillars of these affairs and the foundations and the fundamentals of all of these issues, and clarified in this hadith maratib ad-deen, the levels of the religion. And in the end of this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked Umar radiyallahu anhu, he said, ya Umar, atadri man as-sa'il? Or Umar, do you know who the questioner was? And he said, radiyallahu anhu, Allahu wa rasuluhu alam, that verily Allah and His Messenger know better. And then at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلُ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. That verily, it was Jibreel, and he came to you to teach you your deen, to teach you your deen. So the deen that was clarified and explained and taught by Jibreel in that noble narration, the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, this is the deen that the one who has an understanding of, that the one who has a good and proper comprehension and understanding of this deen, then it is a sign for that individual that Allah, He wants good for him. That Allah, He wants good for him. The people of knowledge, they mention that first and foremost, what is included in the understanding of the deen, which is most important and takes precedence, this is the understanding of the proper creed and belief. Al-fiqhu fil aqeedah. And even some of the people of knowledge have referred to this fiqh here as al-fiqhu al-akbar, the major fiqh and the major understanding. And this is the understanding of the proper creed and the proper belief. And this is because the actions are based upon that. And if the creed is corrupt, then that which is based upon that will be likewise corrupt accordingly. So therefore, the major fiqh and the greatest understanding in the deen, first and foremost, is the understanding of creed and the understanding of al-tawheed and the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be singled out in worship. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah alone, He is the creator with no partners whatsoever, and to know Him by His beautiful names and attributes, and to single Him out with that, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to affirm for Him what He has affirmed for Himself in His book without distorting that meaning or changing the meaning or likening it to the creation or denying the meaning in a manner befitting His majesty, affirming that for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attributes of perfection and the attributes that have no deficiency or fault or defect in them from any aspect whatsoever, to affirm this for the Lord of the worlds alone, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His lordship and His kingdom and His dominion and His ultimate authority and power, and that nothing happens in His kingdom except with His permission, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise to affirm His right to be worshipped alone, and likewise to affirm His right to be worshipped alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with no partners whatsoever. This, it takes precedence. And likewise, the belief in the angels and the proper understanding and belief in the angels, as well as the books, and that the Quran is the seal of all revelations and all of the books, and likewise the proper belief in the prophets and messengers, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the seal of all messengers. وَمَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكَ الرَّسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also having the proper understanding and creed and belief with regards to the great pillar of al-Iman, the belief in the Day of Judgment and the Day of Resurrection, and that which happens to an individual at the time of death and after that, all the way until the resurrection, and the belief in the Jannah, and the belief in the Nar, and likewise the belief in the reward and the scales in the hereafter and the recompense, as well as the decree and the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the divine decree, subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this, it takes precedence, and the actions there are based upon this. And if this creed is proper, and there is the understanding and is understood correctly, then the actions, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, will be based upon khayr, and will be based upon goodness, and likewise they will proceed from that foundation, and they will be upright as well, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. But here, what we are discussing now is another type of fiqh, and this is the second issue, also known as fiqh in the deen. And this is what is used to refer to many times whenever the people of knowledge, they speak about the word fiqh. And that is al-fiqh, any understanding in the legislative rulings. The understanding with regards to the legislative rulings. Ilmu bil-ahkam al-shar'iyya al-amaliyya al-muktasaba min adillatiha al-tafsiriyya. That these are, this is the understanding with regards to the legislative rulings of the actions of al-Islam. The legislative rulings with regards to the actions of the deen. The actions of the deen. And they are derived from the detailed evidences in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And so we see that the word fiqh, it means linguistically understanding. And as for in the legislation, then in general, it includes all aspects of understanding in the deen. Beginning first and foremost with creed and belief in tawheed. But likewise including the actions as well. and the actions of worship, and likewise the contracts and the manners and the etiquettes as well. All of this is included in having understanding in the deen. And the greater understanding one has, the more upright he will be, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But what is intended here? Kitab al-fiqhi al-muyassar fi law al-kitabi wa sunnah. It is al-fiqh bil-ahkam al-shar'iyya. Al-fiqh bil-ahkam al-shar'iyya al-amaliyya. This is the understanding of the legislative rulings that are related to the actions, that are related to the actions including the actions of worship, and likewise the actions of transactions and dealings and contracts and marriage and divorce, and likewise buying and trading and selling and so on and so forth, as well as criminal punishments and the likes. All of this is included here, and this is what is intended by al-fiqh in this book here, fiqh al-muyassar, the simplified fiqh. And it is made easy and facilitated in this manner and in this book, alhamdulillah. And likewise, it's in the title, it's clarifying as well, fi dawi al-kitabi wa sunnah, in the light of the Qur'an and the sunnah. In the light of the Qur'an and the sunnah. Meaning that this understanding here that has been simplified, this is based upon evidences from the Qur'an and from the sunnah. Not based upon whims nor desires, but rather based upon evidences from the Qur'an and from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the simplified understanding, meaning of the Islamic jurisprudence and the legislative rulings of the actions of worship and the transactions and the dealings and the contracts between the people, in the light of the book and the sunnah, in the light of the book and the sunnah. And this particular work is compiled by a group of scholars, by a group of scholars, and it has been published by Mujamma' al-Malik Fahd. Mujamma' al-Malik Fahd li Taba'ati al-Mushaf al-Sharif, the Quran complex of Malik Fahd, the Malik Fahd Quran complex in Al-Madina, which is the place where the Mushaf is printed and published, and the likes like that. From this complex in Al-Madina, they have this Mujamma, and it is known as the Qur'an complex. The Qur'an complex, and they have been entrusted with printing the Noble Qur'an and publishing it, and likewise distributing the Qur'an all throughout the world. May Allah reward them the best of rewards and grant them success in this life and in the hereafter. They also have other works that they publish, and from them, the Al-Tafsir Al-Muyassar, Al-Tafsir Al-Muyassar, the simplified or facilitated explanation of the Qur'an. And likewise, we have here this publication here, Al-Fiqh Al-Muyassar, the facilitated understanding, or the simplified jurisprudence, and Islamic jurisprudence and law, jurisprudence and law. And the one who is the administrator of the affairs of this particular work is Sheikh Salih ibn Abdul Aziz Ali Sheikh, Hafidhullah Ta'ala. And he has written an introduction mentioning much praise and mentioning much praise of this book, and clarifying some of the details with regards to it and the benefits from this book and the likes like that. So therefore, this is a book that is compiled by many different scholars have worked to gather this, and they were at the administration of Sheikh Salih Ali Sheikh Hafidhullah Ta'ala, and he has recommended this book and written an introduction for this particular work, and it is published in Al-Mamlaka Al-Arabiya Al-Saudiya in the Quran complex in Al-Madina Al-Nabawiya. So we begin reading from the chapter of As-Siyam, the chapter of As-Siyam. So our methodology in this class, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, will just be readings. Will be readings with little commentary, because this book is already facilitated and simplified. So we will just read and benefit from that and not go into much detail. But rather keep it simple and easy and facilitated, just like The title is. So we see here in this work, they will mention evidences, but not a lot of evidences. They will mention one or two evidences and move on to the next issue. And the affairs are summarized in a very beautiful manner. And they are arranged likewise in a very beautiful manner. And it is very beneficial, yani, to study the likes of these works and to read from them because of how concise they are and how summarized they are. Yet at the same time, there it's not deficient in clarifying the issue and establishing the rulings with evidences and proofs. So therefore, our methodology in this class is that we will just read from the text and maybe summarize some of the points and benefits, and we will not go into great detail in the differences of opinions and the different detailed issues, but rather this will be a class that will be beneficial, inshallah, for all of the Muslims, whether they are new or whether they are old. For those who are new, inshallah, it will be easy for them to understand, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And for those who are students of knowledge and have studied some of the affairs of fasting, likewise, it will be a good review for them. It will be a good review for them. So we begin by seeking the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his tawfiq. And we read, and they say, Rabi'an, kitabu as-siyam. Rabi'an, kitabu as-siyam. The fourth, meaning the fourth chapter. So we see we're beginning here in the chapter of fasting because of our situation in preparation for the coming of Ramadan. But this particular book, it begins in the manner of the books of fiqh and the books of the Islamic rulings. And that is with the book of Tahara first, awalan. And then after that, the book of As-Salah, thaniyan. And then after that, the book of Az-Zakah, thalithan. And now here, rabi'an, the book of As-Siyam. So here he says, they say rabi'an, meaning the book, the fourth, meaning the fourth chapter, and has preceded three chapters, At-Tahara, As-Salah and As-Zakah, beginning with the pillars of Al-Islam, and beginning with At-Tahara, because it is the Miftahu As-Salah, Miftahu As-Salah. So we see here that they say, Rabi'an Kitabu As-Siyam, the fourth book, the book of fasting. وَيَشْتَمِلُ عَلَى خَمْسَةِ أَبْوَابٍ, and it consists of five chapters. The book of fasting here consists of five chapters. They say, الْبَابُ الْأَوَّلِ, the first chapter, فِي مُقَدِّمَاتِ الصِّيَامِ, with regards to the introductory affairs of fasting. The first chapter is with regards to مُقَدِّمَاتِ الصِّيَامِ, some of the introductory affairs with regards to fasting. Any introductions to this issue, the issue of fasting. وَفِيهِ مَسَائِلِ, and in this introduction, in this chapter, there are masail, issues. Masail is the plural of mas'ala. And al-mas'ala, this is an issue in the deen, something that one, he will ask about. And he will ask about the ruling and the reality of that affair. They call it mas'ala. Mas'alatun min masail al-deen. Yani affair from the affairs of the religion, or an issue from the issues of the deen. So we see here that this chapter, it has masail. It has several issues. And they begin here, al-mas'alatu al-ula, the first issue. Ta'rifu siyami wa bayanu arkanihi. So the first chapter is with regards to some introductory affairs related to fasting. And the first issue in this chapter is the definition of fasting and the clarification of its pillars. So this is the subject and the topic of our class today. And that is ta'rifu as-siyam wa bayanu arkanihi, the definition of fasting and the clarification of its pillars, meaning the pillars of fasting. So then they mention here ta'rifuhu, number one, al-awwal ta'rifuhu, the first issue here, as-siyam fil-lugha, its definition, as-siyamu fil-lugha, the definition in the language, or the linguistic definition. And this is the methodology of the people of knowledge. Whenever they clarify the definition of words, they always mention the linguistic definition first, meaning in the Arabic language, and then after that, clarify the legislative meaning. So the words that are used and the terminology that is used to clarify the rulings in the deen, and the legislative issues that are discussed in the religion, these words have linguistic meanings, and they have legislative and they have legislative meanings. They have legislative meanings. So therefore, it's very beneficial to learn in this manner the linguistic meaning, and then after that, its relationship to the legislative meaning. To the legislative meaning. So they say here, تعريفه, the definition of fasting, الصيام في اللغة الإمساك عن الشيء. الصيام في اللغة, fasting in the language, it means to refrain from something. And fasting linguistically, it means to refrain from something. Meaning, الإمساك عن الشيء مطلقا, عن أي شيء, meaning to refrain from something, from anything, in an absolute sense. Linguistically, fasting, as-siyam, it means to refrain from something, whatever it may be, even from speech. And this likewise has come in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about Maryam, and that she said, فَإِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ سَوْمًا إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ سَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا. That verily I have taken an oath to make a fast. I have taken an oath to make a fast. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا. And I will never speak to a human being on this day. And she declared a fast. A fast from what? A fast from speaking. A fast from speaking. So therefore the people of knowledge, they clarified that الصيام في اللغة, it means الإمساك عن الشيء, يعني مطلقا. To refrain from something, no matter what it is, even if it's speaking here in this manner. To refrain from something in the Arabic language, it means to fast and to leave it off. So we see that siyam, we have the verb sama. Sama yasumu sum. Sawman wa siyaman. Sawman wa siyaman. Sama, you say sama zaydun yawm al ithnaini. Zayd, he fasted on Monday. You say, Huwa sama wa ana sumtu. He fasted and I fasted. Ana sumtu. In this manner. And this is the masdar, as-siyam. Also, it comes with another masdar known as as-sawm. So there are two masdars for this word, as-siyamu wa sawmu. Sometimes one will refer to fasting with the word siyam, and other times with the word as-sawm. They have the same meaning. And that means linguistically, al-imsak anishay, to refrain from something. And then after this, they mention, wa fi shar'i, and in the legislation, meaning the definition in the legislation, and what is intended by fasting legislatively, al-imsaku anil akli wa shurbi wa sa'iri al-mufattirat. وسائري المفطرات مع النية من طلوع الفجر الصادق إلى غروب الشمس. This is the legislative definition. The legislative definition is more specific than the linguistic definition. The linguistic definition, الإمساك عن الشيء مطلقا, to refrain from anything, whatever it may be. But here in the legislative meaning and understanding, and the legislative definition, this is a specific type of imsak. It is a specific type of refraining. And it means to refrain from eating and drinking and from the rest of the affairs that break the fast, along with a niyya, ma'aniyyati, and with the niyya, meaning with ikhlas, a niyya to do that sincerely for the sake of Allah, with an intention of sincerity, to perform this imsak and to leave off and to refrain from the food and the drink and from the rest of the affairs that will invalidate and break the fast, and with sincere and pure intentions, hoping for the reward from Allah alone and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, ma'an niyya, with the intention. When? من طلوع الفجر الصادق إلى غروب الشمس. From the rising of the true fajr. From the rising of the true fajr until the setting of the sun. So therefore, fasting, it is to refrain from specific things, specific affairs. They are known to the people of knowledge as al-mufattirat. المفطرات, the things that invalidate and they break the fast from them eating and drinking. So it is to refrain from eating and drinking and from the rest of the mufattirat. This is what the amsak is from, specifically from these affairs. There are specific affairs that break the fast and invalidate it, that one he must refrain from. And this amsak, it must be with an intention, with a pure and a sincere intention, hoping for the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal, hoping to perform this act of worship, seeking nearness and to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, it has a specific time, من طلوع الفجر الصادق, from the rising of the true fajr. Because it is known, al-fajr fajrani, that the fajr is two fajrs. What is intended here is the fajr that comes at the adhan of fajr, whenever the time of the fajr prayer enters, and it's allowed to pray the fajr prayer, or the fajr prayer, the time for the fajr prayer has begun. At this time, this is the time that one must refrain from eating and drinking, and from the rest of the affairs that break the fast, until the sun sets, meaning until the sun goes behind the horizon entirely, until the disk of the sun falls behind the horizon entirely. So this is the definition of a siyam, lughatan wa istilahan, or lughatan wa shar'an, linguistically and legislatively. Linguistically and legislatively. After this, they mention wa arkanuhu, and the pillars of fasting. The pillars of fasting. They say, من خلال تعريف الصيام في الاستراح يتضح أن له ركنين أساسين هما. They mention here that it becomes clear from the definition of fasting in the legislation or in the terminology of the people of knowledge that it has two fundamental pillars. And from the previous definition, it is clear that there are two fundamental pillars with regards to fasting. Again, the previous definition is it is al-imsak an al-akli wa shurbi wa sa'iri al-mufattirat ma'niyya, that one will refrain from eating and drinking and from the rest of the affairs that break the fast, along with the intention of sincerity to perform the action as an act of worship, drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hoping for his reward and hoping for his pleasure. Min tulu' al-fajri sadiqi ila ghurub al-shams, from the rising of the true fajr until the setting of the sun. So based upon this legislative definition, they're mentioning here now that it is clear from this definition that there are two fundamental pillars. That there are two fundamental pillars for fasting. It's important to know these affairs, because a pillar is something that if it is there, then that affair is established, and it's erected, and it's strong, and it's good. But if a pillar from the pillars is not there, then that structure, it will fall, or that affair, it will not be present. A pillar is something that it must be present for the affair to be erected and upright and good. And with regards to fasting, here is a pillar, is a foundation that it must be present in the siyam. It must be present in the fasting. If it is not present, there's no fast. If one of them is not present, there's no fast. These pillars, they must be present. They must be there. They must be established. If they are not there, there's no fast. Meaning a siyam is established upon these two pillars. Without both of them, there's no siyam. There's no fasting. So it is clear that there are two of them, and they mention that awwalu al-imsaku an al-mufattirati min tulu' al-fajr ila ghurub al-shams. The first pillar is that one must refrain from the affairs that break the fast, from the rising of the fajr until the setting of the sun. And from this period precisely, not later and not before, but rather from that time, from the time of the rising of the true fajr, one must enter. Whenever the rising of the true fajr comes, one must be refraining from the things that break the fast. And that refraining, that imsak, and the leaving off of those things that break the fast must continue all the way until the sun sets entirely. So therefore, one must have the intention before the sun rises. And this is a fear that will come bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. That one, the imsak, it begins before the fajr. Just before the rising of the fajr, a person, whenever that fajr rises, and whenever the time of the fajr comes, he will be in a state of imsak. And he will be in a state of refraining and leaving off those things that break the fast. From the time the fajr enters, all the way until the time the Maghrib comes. And from the time the Fajr enters all the way until the sun sets entirely behind the horizon, there must be imsak in this period from the beginning to the end. One must refrain from every affair that breaks the fast from this period, from the beginning to the end. They mention وَدَلِيلُ هَذَا الرُّكْنِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the evidence for this pillar is the statement of Allah, the Most High. فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَبَتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, so now have sexual relations with them, meaning your wives, and seek that which Allah has ordained for you, meaning from offspring, and eat and drink until the white thread of light, and the light of dawn, appears to you distinct from the black thread, until the white thread, or the light of dawn, appears to you distinct from the black thread, meaning the darkness of night. Then complete your sawm, meaning your fasting, until the nightfall. So this is the evidence here from the Quran that clarifies the time of Al-Imsak, the time of Al-Imsak. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, فَكُولُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. And eat and drink until the white thread of the morning has become clear to you from the darkness. And from the light, the white thread of the dawn and the light of the morning has come until this time becomes clear in the horizon from the darkness of the night. From the darkness of the night, ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. And then complete the fast until night, until the night comes, meaning until the sun has set completely behind the horizon. They mention here, and they say, وَالْمُرَادُ بِالْخَيْطِ الْأَبْيَضِ وَالْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ بَيَاضُ النَّهَارِ وَسَوَادُ اللَّيْلِ. And what is intended by the white thread and the dark thread is the whiteness of the daytime and the darkness of the nighttime. Whenever one is able to distinguish between these two affairs at this time, the Fajr has entered. At this time, the true Fajr has entered. And it is a light that goes across the horizon. That goes across the horizon horizontally. This is the light of the Fajr. And this is Al-Khayt Al-Abyad that is referred to here, meaning the light and the whiteness that appears from the daybreak and its first, as it first enters. And then at this time, the darkness of the light is distinguished from that light. This light comes and is distinguished from the darkness of the night, which is referred to in the noble verse as Al-Khayt Al-Aswad, the black line or the black thread. So they mention here that this is the first pillar. The pillar, in order to establish the fasting, there must be al-imsak. And one must refrain from all of al-mufattirat, those things that break the fast. When? Min tulu'i al-fajr, ay al-sadiq. From the rising of the true fajr, ila ghurubi al-shams. Until the setting of the sun. Meaning until the sun, the disk of the sun goes completely behind the horizon. They mention here الثاني, and الثاني meaning the second pillar, أي الركن الثاني, the second pillar, النية, the intention likewise must be present. That it's very important to understand this, that one, he must intend to fast for the sake of Allah, and he must intend to fast and to leave off these affairs that break the fast from food and drink and other than that, with the intention of drawing near to Allah and to fulfill this act of worship. Not to lose weight, or not for some other health reason, but rather بِالنِّيَّةِ التَّعَبُّدِ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, with the intention to worship and to have servitude and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They mention here, بِأَنْ يَقْصِدَ الصَّائِمُ بِهَذَا الْإِمْسَاكِ عَنِ الْمُفَطِّرَاتِ عِبَادَةَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And the what is intended from the intention or the pillar of this of this pillar and having the intention to fast is that the one who is fasting, the sa'im, he would intend with his imsak, with the fact that he is refraining and avoiding and leaving off these mufattirat, these things that break the fast, ibadatullahi, to worship Allah azza wa jal. So they say, فَبِالنِّيَّةِ تَتَمَيَّزُ الْأَعْمَالُ الْمَقْصُودَةُ لِلْعِبَادَةِ عَنْ غَيْرِهَا مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ. So by way of the intention, the actions that are intended for worship are distinguished from other than them from actions. And if there could be two individuals, both of them are leaving off food and drink. And the other affairs that break the fast. And they could both be doing that in the same period or in the same time, and in the daytime. But one of them is doing that because he has a health issue and he's trying to follow a particular diet for some worldly benefit in his body or in his health and the likes like this. And another, he could be performing the same action at the same time, but his intention is to draw near to Allah and to worship Allah and to seek the pleasure and the mercy and the reward from Allah. So therefore, that which determines and distinguishes between these two individuals, their actions, although they are the same, it is the intention. It is the intention. And this is what they mention here. And then after this, they say, وَبِالنِّيَّةِ تَتَمَيَّزُ الْعِبَادَاتُ بَعْضُهَا عَنْ بَعْضٍ. And likewise, by way of the intention, the actions of worship are also distinguished, one from the other. And likewise, with the intention, the actions of worship will be distinguished one from another. So, for example, there could be two individuals, and both of them, they are refraining from the affairs that break the fast, and they could be doing it at the same time, meaning from the rising of the Fajr until the setting of the sun. But one of them has the intention to perform an obligatory fast, and another has the intention to perform a non-obligatory fast. So there's a difference between the two. One of them is fasting an obligatory fast, and another, he is fasting a non-obligatory fast. For example, an individual, maybe he has days to make up from Ramadan. So after Ramadan, he's fasting in Shawwal to make up one of those days. And this is an obligatory fast that he must intend to perform this fast, fulfilling that obligation and making up that obligation that he missed, that is upon him. Another person, maybe likewise, he's fasting in Shawwal, but he completed the fast of Ramadan, and now he's fasting the 6 days of Shawwal, which is highly recommended. So therefore, his intention is not to perform an obligatory fast, but rather to perform a non-obligatory fast. Or another example of that, for example, a person, he made an oath to fast if a particular issue happened. He made a nether. And therefore, he is fasting to fulfill the obligation of that oath and that nether. And this happened that he is fasting on Yom al-Ithnain, on Monday, for example. And then there's another individual, likewise, he's fasting on Yom al-Ithnain, on Monday. But his intention is not for a nether or to make up Ramadan, but rather he's fasting because it's sunnah, and it is recommended to fast on Yom al-Ithnain. So therefore, that which distinguishes between these actions of worship here is the niyyah. So from here, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that a niyyah tumayyizu bayna al-ibadati wal-adat, that the intention it distinguishes from the actions of worship and the customs and everyday actions, as in the first example that they mentioned. And also, تُمَيِّزُ بَيْنَ الْعِبَادَاتِ بَعْضِهَا أَنْ بَعْضٍ. And likewise, it distinguishes the intention, the niyyah, it distinguishes between the types of worship themselves, one from another. So then after this, they mentioned, and they say, فَيَقْصِدُ الصَّائِمُ بِهَذَا السِّيَامِ إما صيام رمضان أو غيره من أنواع الصيام. So the person who is fasting, the sa'im, he will intend by way of his fasting either the fast of Ramadan or another fast from the types of fast that are legislated. After this, they mention and they say, ودليل هذا الركن قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the evidence for this pillar is the statement of the Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم, إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. That verily, the actions, they are by way of intentions, and every individual, he will have what he had intended. That well-known hadith that is متفقٌ عليه, from the hadith of Umar رضي الله عنه. And this is the first mas'ala that they mentioned, and we will proceed in this manner, little by little, reading from this beneficial work, Al-Fiqh Al-Muyassar Fi Dawi Al-Kitabi Wa Sunnah, Kitab Al-Siyam, the facilitated and simplified Islamic jurisprudence in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah, reading from the Book of Fasting. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.